Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hurricane Hotline on FM 1043 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
So blow, Seminole wind. Again. I'm calling to you like a long lost friend, but I know who you are. And blow from the Okeechobee.
Oh, there it is. It's Seminole Greek. Yes, it is. The war chant's been going all week on campus at the Green Tree practice field. It's Tuesday night. We got Wednesday, we got Thursday, we got Friday, and then we kick it off on Saturday, and we can't wait. Number 3, Miami, number 18, FSU. We're on the air at 3 o'clock. Hurricanes ranked 3rd in the country, highest ranked that they've been going to Tallahassee since 2003. 2003, they were ranked number 2. So, here we go. Into the Lions' Den with a number 3 ranking against a team that's going to be a bit ornery after getting upset on Friday. Now, what did I say last week? Didn't I not predict that? I said, it's hard if you're a Miami person to root for FSU or Florida. But I will stay consistent with this. As I mentioned, I don't know what the league is thinking. You don't take your best teams and send them into an ambush. Miami should never play on Thursday or Friday. Maybe I have to rephrase that for one moment. Let me put this little disclaimer up there. This is the opinion of Joe Zagacki. Does not reflect the opinion of anybody else or the Miami Hurricanes. It's my own opinion that you don't send Miami to Virginia on a Friday or a Thursday, and you probably shouldn't send Florida State or Clemson. After all, Alabama doesn't play on Thursday nights or Friday nights, and neither does Michigan. I think Ohio State's played one time a couple years ago, the first game of the year. You don't put your best teams in harm's way. At any rate, that's what they did. It was an ambush. I saw it coming from a mile away. But it probably did show some weaknesses of Florida State. But now we're 4 games in, so they've got a good feel for Miami. Miami's got a good feel for them. Hurricanes are about a 6-point favorite in the game. I think it's going to be a slugfest and a battle for identity. I think that Miami's identity under Mario Cristobal is squarely going into, the physicality. We can call it smash mouth. If you want to come up with something else, come up with something else. But that's what it is. And Florida State, they want to be physical, and they've got some hard-nosed runs in their game. But I feel like they try to trick you a lot. So I feel like you've got one team that tries to run trick plays and keep you off balance, and one team that's very physical. And by the way, you can't be both. You can't be go and declare you're going to be a physical team. I don't think anyway that you can be both. You can't declare, well, we're going to be a physical team and then run trick plays. You don't have enough time to work on it. You are what you emphasize. What Mario Cristobal emphasizes is the trenches. What Gus Malzahn emphasizes is keep you off balance. Now, he's a pain in the neck to prepare for, and If you get caught like Alabama did, it's going to show up on the scoreboard. At any rate, much more to chew over on this one. We've still got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll be in Tallahassee Saturday at 3 o'clock. We're all set for it. Miami and Florida State. Right now, time for the Mario Cristobal Show. Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. Big one coming up this weekend, Miami and Florida State, the 70th all-time reunion between the Canes and the Noles. We'll get to that momentarily. But first, we have not had a chance to look back at the Florida Gators. Don has been smiling now for 2 weeks. The win over the Gators at Hard Rock Stadium, very significant win. How impactful was that victory for your program?
Well, the impactful part to that aspect of that game was the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, they brought it in another, you know, another downpour. We seem to have a lot of that this year. And that was awesome. But we all know how important that game was to us from a historical standpoint, rivalry standpoint, current season standpoint. So it was great. We put it to bed a little while back and moved forward, but certainly was an awesome day and an awesome accomplishment.
Coach, there's some things you have to talk about. Your defense still in that ball game, 0 for 13 on third down. They held Florida to that number. And as you mentioned then, and I don't know if it's changed today, I don't remember anybody being close to something like that.
Well, the best part about it was a mixed bag of third downs, too. Mm-hmm. There was third and short, third and medium, third and long. So it wasn't that they were always in third and long. But all in all, just a great plan put together by the staff and extremely well executed by the players. Great team effort.
Coach, we talk about the SEC being a line of scrimmage league and all of that stuff. I saw the line of scrimmage moving in the Miami direction. Maybe let's discuss that a little bit, the physicality and the identity that you are creating with this physicality and smash mouth style.
I think our entire organization has really taken on taken a lot of pride in being physical, not only at the line of scrimmage, but also on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's helping us evolve more and more and improve. You know, we're recognizing how important that is. And everybody realizes how much better and how much more physical we need to be. So there's a strong commitment to it. And we're just looking forward to getting back to work and getting better.
Coach, the running back combination of Fletcher and Brown. And then, of course, Brown had 48-yard TD taken off the field, off the scoreboard, excuse me. But those two guys, just the essence that they bring to a ball game.
Without a doubt, just tremendous physicality, and not just the way they run the ball, the way they block for each other, the way they block for the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. the energy they bring to the sideline, to the entire team. And now they get to be joined by Jordan Lyle, who's finally healthy again, so looking forward to all those guys working together.
Fletcher's had back-to-back 100-yard games, and we're talking about hard-earned 100-yard games. Do you see him at a spot where this is what you envisioned for him when you saw him play in high school?
Well, we did. We thought he was an exceptional player in high school. And when he was committed to another school, we were really determined to get him here to Miami. And on a night like that, we're training like it was. So, you know, the passing game is a little bit off and they're stacking the box. You know, you recruit guys like that to take on the plus one guy, right? You know, we're blocking these guys and that guy belongs to you. You got to make a miss or you got to run through them or contact plus 1 or 2 yards. It's a difficult task, but one that a talented and a tough guy like him took on, and he did a really nice job.
Reuben Bain has been recognized a couple of times nationally for his play so far in the first four games of the season, but it's just not about Reuben Bain. Mezador helps Reuben Bain get recognized, but also, Coach, the inside guys have really started to come around.
Without a doubt, you know, Ahmad Moten, David Blay, Justin Scott, you know, have done a really good job of just not only holding the point, but also penetrating and creating negative plays for opponent offenses. And they're the ones that are going to tell you as well that there's a lot more to improve upon. So we're looking forward to getting those guys back to work also.
In the courts, they call it the closing argument. Your closing argument against the Gators was pretty sound, the way the game finished. And in football, we talk about finishing strong. They get the ball back. It's the fourth quarter, a little bit of adversity for Miami. You get a stop on fourth down. You put together a long touchdown drive, get the ball back again, and then bring the curtains down on the show. How about the way your team finished?
Great response, tremendous competitive response, an appetite for improvement, an appetite for finding a way to get it done, and then just working together and playing complementary football. And so great to see that on film. Great to see all the areas that we need to improve upon on film and recognizing them and getting to work.
Looks like Mo Torre at linebacker is fitting in right now. It seems like he's got a complete understanding. He's actually number two in total tackles on your defense.
Mo Torre has been a phenomenal addition. He has embraced and taken in Hurricane culture and DNA very quickly, and a guy that continues week in and week out to show what a great player he has become, and another guy that'll tell you how much he has to improve upon for us to achieve our goals. So excited about the progress by him and the rest of those guys at linebacker. I mean, Wes has done a great job. Popo's done a great job. Chase has done a great job, and some young guys are playing. We're really excited about that crew.
Another guy you have found that really appreciates being here, and you're using him really well, Jacoby Thomas. I thought he played extremely well against Florida. Five tackles. He's in the backfield bringing the quarterback down. Kind of an interesting route to get here, but he's had an impact on your defense.
Another guy, just a very physical player, a very intense player, really studies the game hard. This means a lot to him. He's really enjoyed his time here at Miami and the developmental processes that go with it, and a very strong appetite to get better and have a great defense.
Carter Davis, your field goal kicker, another 50-plus yard field goal for him, and the confidence that you just must have in him gets better every week.
He does. He just shows it in practice. He shows it in tough situations. We put him in really tough situations in practice, and he has come through, and we're on him hard, and he's hard on himself. And the way that competition, because they compete weekly, those guys, it's always like staying on edge. It has proven to be a very beneficial thing for him because he continues to perform at a high level.
Well, we did talk about the trenches, but your offensive line, those guys were monsters. Look at the smile on his face.
Wow, it's true.
Markell Bell, my goodness gracious. And just the way that's come together for you, especially in that game, that has to be something that is significant and perhaps you're proud of as well.
We continue to improve. Certainly our levels of technique, fundamentals, physicality, pad level, knee bend, ability to redirect, communication, all that stuff is just improving week by week, and there's so much work to do. There's so much improvement to be made, and those guys, they jump in there, they lead it. You know, they're all about being proactive and finding a way to get better.
Tight end room coach Lofton's coming around, just makes play after play now that he seems healthy and at full speed, but Bauman and the whole group is really participating.
Yeah, it was great to see Lofton last week, and he wasn't full speed, but just went anyways and made a couple really, really important plays that helped turn that game in our favor. And it's great to see him these last couple weeks get healthy. So we're going to certainly be excited to have him back in there. And then Alex Bauman has done a great job, really has. Physical, tough, great hands. You know, we missed him on a couple opportunities. But, you know, those guys are going to keep working hard. Their opportunities are coming.
I think the way you put your team together also – through the first 4 weeks is showing. It's interesting. Sometimes the narrative, I think, is a little off because a lot of your players are core players that you recruited through high school. And then the interesting twist is the portal players you've brought in are guys that understand the history of the University of Miami and want to be here. Okay. And they feel like this was the place for them.
Yeah, I think the best part is like we have no care. We couldn't care less about narratives. We really don't. All we care about is the University of Miami and being a Miami Hurricane and representing our university, our community, our program to the best of our abilities. And that's our focus. You know, our focus is on making sure that we do our job and that we do it to the best of our abilities and not let anything or anyone get in the way of that being done.
Coach, the defense is, you hear people talk about it, it's a swarming defense, but you coach a swarming defense. That's a part of every part of practice, pre-practice, during practice. It's constantly focused on.
It is. It's a, you know, Coach Heatherman, I think, instantly made people uncomfortable with his intensity and the emphasis of chasing the ball, of getting hats to the ball, of max effort, of finishing plays. But when a couple guys start doing it and having success, and it becomes contagious, and that spreads pretty quickly. And so we're getting more and more of that, and you want to keep seeing that increase because that's what typically makes a defense work. So again, we've improved and certainly excited about the improvement, but when you watch Sante, you'll see there's a lot of improvement to be made, and we're looking forward to getting back to work.
I thought Carson Beck was very competitive, showed great leadership. How did you assess his play against the Gators?
You know what? I think he played as good as he could play, and some things were good and some things need to be improved upon. And the entire time, tremendous competitive response, great leadership, a great presence, and being a great teammate. And, you know, in some games you're going to toss it for 400 and sometimes you're going to not do that, right? And whatever that game requires us to do to win, that's all that matters. And I think when guys accept that and buy into that and they're happy for their teammates, when you do get a win, that's when I think a team really galvanizes itself and becomes different.
We've all been raised on sending a message early, and the defense against Florida sent it pretty darn quick. Three negative plays in a row and force a punt, and that really sets the tempo that everybody talks about.
They set the tone. They did a really nice job at the line of scrimmage. The crowd did a great job affecting the game, and our guys just fed off of each other, and then the offense took the first drive, went down, and scored. It was a really good start to the game. And then we had to play complimentary football because we stalled out for a while on offense. Defense kept getting stops, and then eventually that momentum, you know, bit by bit, you know, punch by punch, started turning back our way. And when we had a chance to take control of the game, we did.
By the way, just to pick up on what you said is so important, I think. The whatever it takes mentality sounds easy, but sometimes that's hard to get into an organization. And when you have the everybody believing whatever it takes, that's a great culture to have, right?
It's the only way to win at a high level. Yeah. I mean, at this time of year, it's conference play, so the entire country, everybody's alive. Everybody's got a chance. And so the margin of error becomes smaller and smaller, right? The margins between winning and losing is tiny, you know? And to make that favor you and your team, you've got to have everybody on board, as many people on board as possible. And that is a concept that is easy to talk about, but, you know, not always achievable. That's always the goal. You know, whatever it takes, whatever is required of you to help the team win, that's at the forefront. And honestly, when a team wins, everybody else's goals, they just fall right in line with that. And that's something that we're getting more and more of, and we want to improve that as well.
Coach, how do you create the short yardage mentality on every play on an offensive line? I think that, you know, every play that Miami lines up, it's fourth and goal, and you have to win the football game. They come off and they play that same mentality every single snap.
I think Coach Mirabal, you know, Coach Taylor on the defensive side with Coach Lewis, Coach Stroud, all these guys, they'll tell you right now that we're improving, you know, but we're not there yet. We're getting some better play out of our guys, and the mentality is just getting better and better. The cohesiveness is better and better, but we rep it at a high level with intensity and with purpose, and we got to get better. You know, we're not there yet, but we're certainly excited about the improvement.
Okay, we'll have more with the University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. Also still to come, Shannon Dawson. We'll try to get to Corey Heatherman and Mike Norvell as well, all coming up on the show. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. Right now, I'm driving the XT4, which is a driver pleaser. It stands ready to tackle any task. Whether you're going grocery shopping or daily commuting, the XT4 is going to meet a wide array of needs and desires. XT4, it delivers the wow factor. It's turbocharged, got a great engine, great acceleration, fuel efficiency. It's just stunning. Meets every expectations. It's a quiet, smooth drive. Cadillac always delivers, no matter what. Williamson Cadillac always delivers. At the top of the chart is their customer service. Nobody does it better than Ed Williamson, of course, his lovely wife, Carol. And, of course, and got to mention Jermaine Chambers as well. Meanwhile, the XT4 is just a one-of-a-kind SUV. It's durable. It has style. And it's always going to satisfy. And if the XT4 might not be in your game plan, well, there are plenty of others to choose from. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and of course, the new all-electric Lyriq. You can check them all out on the website, Williamson Cadillac website. That's easy to get to, WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. And of course, Williamson, easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply, in app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
This week it's Miami and Florida State, Doak Campbell Stadium. 7:30 kickoff. Canes going on the road for the first time this year. The 70th meeting between Miami and Florida State is always a doozy. Coach, this rivalry, what does it mean to you and to this program?
Oh, you guys know what that means to me. You know, so and it has no bearing on our preparation. My job is to make sure that regardless of what I feel and all those great memories or whatnot, that's all the side pocket. It's all focused on making sure our team, our coaches, everything I could possibly do to help our team prepare at the highest level to have the best chance of success.
Coach, let's clarify this. A bye week is not an off week. A bye week is a work week and a week to get healthy and improve.
Without a doubt, you know, you actually, you get a bit of everything in there. You know, you have a chance to heal up your team, but you're also working. You don't want to lose all those improvements that you had through repetition and all of a sudden, you know, just go backwards. Because in college football, you know, if you're off 2 days, you might as well be off 4 months, right? Because between school and everything else, you know, you can lose sight of, you know, you could forget things that have made you improve, that have made your team better. So between practice, strength and conditioning, healing up, our recovery systems and our amenities, between spending time around each other, right, making sure that our team connects more and more, recruiting, self-scouting, you name it, we've done it all. And it's a high level of work type of week where you try to accomplish a bunch, but you also get the guys that are banged up, you get those guys healed up as much as possible.
Florida State coming off a tough night in Charlottesville. What jumps out to you about their program, about their football team coming in?
Tremendous job adapting different scheme offensively and defensively. Big, fast, physical football team, extremely talented and well-coached.
You're facing a 3-3-5 defense, a little bit of a hybrid-type defense. Got to prepare especially for that.
No doubt. And they mix it up too. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see three down. You'll see a bare front. You'll see four down. You know, your offensive line, your tight ends, your running backs, quarterbacks, everybody has to be on the same page, right? They do a really good job mixing that up and forcing mistakes. They do a great job getting up the field, using their hands, playing with good pad level. They do a good job on the back end, disguising coverages and bringing different types of pressures that really have affected opponents in a big time way. And if you look at them statistically, they're top 10, top 20 in just about every category. So certainly a really good football team, and we're really excited about the opportunity.
Coach, in that 3-3-5, that rover position, which they have Earl Little playing, but you saw that last year against Iowa State. That guy was really important for them. That rover position, how does that impact what they want to get done?
Yeah, I mean, there's some, I would say, aspects that are similar, but it's different. It's a different defense, you know, and certainly that position is very heavily involved in everything that they do, is almost a quarterback of the defense, but they're multiple. You know, to label them just as a three down front is not entirely accurate, because they do a bunch. They do a bunch, and they do a great job mixing it up and staying off of tendencies. You know, they make it difficult to figure out. They don't telegraph their calls.
Castellanos, the quarterback, a very mobile guy, has a strong arm. He's got a ton of experience and has had off to a great start.
He's one of the best players in college football, you know, and he'll be in the argument for the best one. Just incredibly accurate, strong arm, quick release, tremendous pocket presence. And he could do it with his arm. He understands that offense inside and out, and he could do it with his feet. And in the form of off-script plays, in the form of design plays, design quarterback runs and sometimes just taking off and finding guys like he did on the fourth down for the touchdown. Just an extremely talented player that's playing at a high level.
Castellanos, he leads their running game, but their running game is unique in that there's a lot of misdirection, and everybody's a running back. You know, wide receiver, tight end, running back, quarterback, everybody's a running back.
They lead the country in total offense, scoring offense, everything. You know, rushing, they average over 300 yards a game by a lot. And everybody takes their turn at running the ball in some way, shape, or form. So certainly they it's a team that makes you prepare to the best of your abilities, and they have a lot of talented players.
Number zero, Deuce Robinson, a big target on the outside and has had a great year so far.
6'6 plus, extremely fast, explosive, huge catch radius, makes a contested catch, really good blocker on the perimeter as well. Excellent football player.
There's some big safeties. What do you see in their secondary?
Explosive athletes, guys that have a tremendous knack for not only covering, locating the ball, but playing the ball when it's in the air. Now, you know, not all DBs can do that. These guys play the ball in the air very well. They're very well coached, and they're very physical in the run game.
Coach, that defensive line, you're familiar with the former players that have been, that were here actually at Florida State right now, but they're big, strong, and powerful.
Big and physical guys. Yeah. They've done a great job controlling the line of scrimmage. And again, you look at them statistically, they're tops in the country in just about every category.
The other thing is, this is the beginning of conference play. It's one thing that it's your rival. It's also conference play, and conference play means playoff football.
Without a doubt. And around the country, that's what you see, conference play. Everything's turned up. You know, one-score games, 20-plus of one-score games all over the country, five-plus games of overtime around the country. It's that time of year, right? It's playoff football.
I don't know that people realize that you prepare to go on the road to a place like Doak Campbell Stadium. You make sure there's as much noise here as humanly possible to try and prepare your football team. But that is about as loud a place as you're going to walk into. But you work on it every day.
Yes, tremendous opportunity that our guys are excited about.
Yeah, that's Doak Campbell, interesting place to go. Overall, you touched on recruiting. People talk about this game, the impact it has on recruiting. Do you look at it that way?
I mean, I look at recruiting every way possible. Yeah. You know, you always want to gain an advantage. But I also think that there's a football season and a signing period season. And those things, they go all over the place sometimes. There's some common threads, but there are some ones that throw those threads completely off as well. So, you know, you're always working at recruiting, so you're just always rolling.
Florida State's got a running back by committee room as well. A ton of guys get a lot of carries. They divide it up pretty well, but each guy has their own individual talent.
They do, and they seem to be getting healthy as well. I know they got one of their guys back this coming week that was a great player at the University of Alabama. So they're downhill runners, speed guys, one-cut guys, make you miss, run you over, contact plus 2-3 yards. Very talented backfield and complemented by a physical offensive line.
And your players I imagine they love playing in this rivalry, right? I mean, these guys, especially the local players that you've recruited and put in this team, and then the guys that have come in here, they know about Miami and Florida State.
That's why you sign up to play at the University of Miami.
But you've done a great job in making sure Green Tree translates to anywhere you play, whether it's Hard Rock or it's Doak Campbell. It doesn't matter where it is. Talk about the intensity that is required every single day out of this team when they practice.
I mean, that's where the secret's all in the work, right? Secrets out there in the dirt on Green Tree practice field. You just got to go to work. You know, all the talking and tweets and posts and all that stuff, there's nothing of that nature that's going to make a single play. You know, what's going to make you successful on any given Saturday and now Fridays and Thursdays as well in college football, Sundays even sometimes, is making sure that you prepare to the best of your ability and that the service teams, the scout teams, the people preparing you are giving max effort and are providing the pace, the intensity, and the physicality to give you the best look of the opponent so you can prepare.
Well, the last thing on this game is we start the show talking about your identity, the smash mouth, physical identity, and everybody says they want to be that way, but you can only practice so much. You are achieving that. Not to say that Florida State's not physical, but a lot of their stuff is misdirection and all that. Is there a tug of war in a game to get to an identity?
We want to be a physical team, but we're not all the way there yet. We're not. We're not to the standard that we want to play at from a physical standpoint. We're, you know, we have a lot of improvements to make in the areas of technique, fundamentals, like you mentioned, physicality and violence and finishing plays or whatnot. And we want to work at that. We want to get better at that, and that has to be, you know, part of our DNA, and we're facing a team that has a lot of players that play like that. They play really physical football. So it's a tremendous opportunity. It really is, and one that our guys are really excited about.
All right, Coach, the very best of luck against the Seminoles.
Let's go. Appreciate you. Go Canes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Blow, blow, Seminole wind. Blow like you're never gonna blow again.
Oh, it's Seminole week. We're going up there. We're going to see that school from the north. It's always fun to go up there. The games are always classic. Miami has played well in Tallahassee through the years. Hurricanes have a winning record in Tallahassee, 16-12 against Florida State at Doak Campbell Stadium. Now, I don't think this is a really big deal. The last time they won a night game there was 2009. Ja'Cory Harris, Travis Benjamin, that group. Now, Miami's won there since that time, mainly in the 330 slot. And, of course, they played them a couple times at night. And one year Miami went up there. It was number 7 against number 3, I think it was. And Miami was vastly overrated and got smashed by Jameis Winston. This one is going to be a lot tighter. This is going to be a good game. Florida State's going to bring their A game. They'll have the crowd behind them. And Miami's got to get the game to their identity. Coming off a game where the offense played, had a solid performance, maybe not great, but solid. Not great against Florida only because I think the penalties short-circuited the offense. Probably could have put the Gators away in the first half. And that also probably led to some of the malfunctions for Carson Beck. At any rate, Shannon Dawson will join us on the pregame show Saturday, which gets underway at 3 o'clock. But he also spoke with Don Bailey Jr. today.
This is Don Bailey joined with offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson. And, Coach, first of all, let's go review the Florida game from 2 weeks ago. Seems like a year ago. Very good day for the University of Miami in the run game against really a very good Florida defense. You produced 184 yards, Fletcher over 100 again, back-to-back, and then Marty Brown would have been over 100 if that run wasn't canceled. Oh,
wow. Yeah, that run hurt. I mean, that would have put the game – that would have put it to where it probably would have got out of reach at some point. But ran the ball really well, and really we converted 50% on third downs. There were some third and eights and third and nines and third and sevens that we completed that kept drives going that ended up in points that were huge. And so in those conditions to complete those balls, I think are very positive on our part. But ultimately, the tell of the game was the two times we got down inside the 10 and had to settle for field goals. I mean, that's 21-0 at halftime instead of 13. So that was the true negative in the game.
Coach, everybody talks now in college football about the middle eight. But yeah, how about the opening drive? That helps set a tempo as good as anything.
No doubt. I mean, they haven't given up open drive touchdown in like a year and a half. You know, it's been like 12 games or whatever. And so we knew going into the game that first drive was vital. LSU the week before had went 3-and-out, I think, at least three times in a row. And so putting a drive together on the first drive was something we pressed all week that was very important to make a statement. And we drove right down and had a 3rd-and-8 conversion, which was huge, and then punched it in, which, you know, set the tone for the game.
Elijah Lofton seems like he's finding himself, catches and making it happen again.
No, he is, and I knew he would. I mean, those guys, I mean, he's on the field all the time, him and Al, and they're open, and they're going to eventually – the ball is going to find them. You know, you keep playing hard like they are, the ball is going to find them. And the biggest thing is they're doing a heck of a job run blocking, And, you know, when the ball comes their way, they're gonna make a play. And we had a couple more out there, to be honest with you, that we were just slightly off on to those guys. But they're going to be a big part in the whole overall scheme of things for every game.
Go to the fourth quarter. You had a 13-play drive with 10 runs. It's nice to have an offensive line that you can lean on at that time of the game.
Yeah, we really needed it then. I mean, we came off the two drives in the game that were really negative. We threw a pick on the first play of one drive, and then we went three and out. So the game was kind of in the balance, and we got the ball back. Defense made a great stop on fourth down, and then we had to go 80 yards to put it on ice, and we did. And so we leaned on the guys up front, made a couple third down conversions, obviously throwing the football, which kept the drive going. But ultimately leaned on those guys when we got down in the score zone and just really mauled them up front, really, and just pushed them in the end zone.
Another group we want to recognize, the wide receivers, on what a great job they're doing in the run game.
No, their blocking has been tremendous. You know, I mean, you know, games like that are rainy, and we know their defense is really good, so yards are at a premium. We're really physical on the perimeter, and we're really physical blocking the safeties. And so that's key to our run game. I mean, you know, we expect the big guys to be physical. The fact that our peripheral guys are physical is the difference.
Coach, off the bye week, how did you use last week to help Miami get better? Coach talked about it's not an off week.
No,
it's a work week.
It is a work week, and our ones got some work, but they did get a lot of rest. And so I do think that rest is vital in those off weeks because they are going to play a lot of football. We're anticipating playing for a long time. And so those guys have to stay healthy and they got to stay fresh. It also gives you the opportunity to develop guys that haven't played a lot or have played minimal reps and really just continue to build confidence with those guys to when their opportunities come or heaven forbid, like one of those guys go down and it's their chance that they're ready to play.
All right, that's Shannon Dawson. We'll hear more from Coach Dawson during our pregame show on Saturday. Meanwhile, Florida State's offense comes in number one in the country, 600 yards per game. Now, that's a little skewed because they played Trevor and me earlier in the season. They played East Texas A&M, and quite honestly, I've never heard of East Texas A&M. And Kent State, who I think might be the worst Division I team out there. So Trevor and I probably would have given them a little bit of a better time. That being said, Tommy Castellanos is an elusive quarterback. They run a good offense. Everybody's a running back. Wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, quarterback, they are all running backs. So that'd be problematic. And a lot of eye candy in this one. And here's what Corey Heatherman had to say about defending FSU.
They run the football really well. And, you know, throw it down and distance out, I think they can run it at any time. We have to do a great job with, you know, containing the quarterback, caging the quarterback, you know, having a guy underneath, making sure we have eyes on him. And you know, it always adds a different element to what you're doing when you have to defend that quarterback run.
Obviously, Ruben Bain's been, I mean, if not one of the best defensive players in the country, arguably one of the best players in the country, period, so far. Is there anything that he's done so far this year that's surprised you? I mean, I'm sure you knew you were getting a good player in him, but, you know, the way he's played through the first four games, how much has that impressed you or surprised you?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's been a dominant player. I think what he did this offseason, you know, as how he took care of his body, the way he works, the way he gets the extra reps in practice, how he's gone about his fundamentals and techniques, and then, you know, how he attacks every single day, that's what shows up on the field. And, you know, I think if you work at it constantly on the offseason, in the summer, in the winter, spring football, it's now showing what he did in this offseason. And I think, you know, I think helping to have him on the edge a little bit, you know, has allowed him to play fast within this defense.
You guys have been really good on third down this year, obviously over 13 for Florida last time out. Just in the same form, what made this a successful third down defense?
You know, I think last week the biggest thing was, you know, we stayed on track throughout the downs. You know, we had a lot of third and off tracks. I thought our guys executed with details when they were third and manageable. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, every week you get different situations, you get a little bit of a different style, and I thought our guys executed really well within those situations in those schemes. You know, fourth down, you know, we got to clean that one up. They were 3 for 6. So that's an area, you know, it's four down territory. They're going for it back-to-back plays. We have to get, you know, we have to do a better job in that situation getting off the field.
They do a lot of I'll just use the word exotic things offensively. They try to create deception. How does that impact, you know, you and your preparation for the game?
Yeah, our guys have to be really detailed with their eyes. You know, our alignments are huge this week. Our eye discipline, our communication, understanding what the final pitcher is. You know, our guys just need to make sure we're communicating and they both see the same pitcher the same way, whoever it is that's working together on every set play. And, you know, and that's going to be the number one thing is, you know, we can't be peeking in the backfield. We can't be looking at the wrong things. We got to be detailed on where our eyes were and where our fits are every single play.
As a defensive coach, how do you keep that from creating tentativeness?
Yeah, we're, you know, the number one thing is, and as we feel it out in practice every week, it's how do we play as fast as we possibly can. And, you know, that depending how we call it, how we, you know, put in certain things, that's going to be the number one thing. So we want to make sure we're still playing fast as a unit. You know, we still want our guys to be comfortable, communicate well together, and then be able to play at a speed where we always feel like we're attacking on defense. And that'll be the number one goal.
How does the speed of this FSU offense compare to what you guys have played against at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think they use it at times. I think they don't. I think it'll be similar at times to what we saw versus South Florida. You know, I think it's, you know, there's times where I think they're going really fast. And then there's other times, you know, they slow it down. I don't know if it's because of the game situation or the score or, you know, what it is in the game, you know, where they do it. But we just have to be ready for everything. You know, we got to be ready to go very, very fast like we did a couple weeks ago. We have to be ready for them to huddle up and do some different things or not go as fast in certain situations. And, you know, that's something that we got to practice all week. And, you know, we've kind of been doing with our guys, and we got to continue to emphasize that until we get to kickoff.
I think the offense had 25 yards in the first half. Have you ever experienced that as a coach? And then what's the message to your defense once you go in the half, at halftime?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing last week was playing a full game, you know, playing a complete four-quarter game. You know, we felt every game we've kind of had, you know, Notre Dame the fourth quarter, we got to play better. South Florida, we got to play better at the finish of the game. Bethune, same thing. We got to play a more complete game. And that was the number one thing we wanted to try to accomplish or emphasize last week as we went through that game. And I still think we got to, you know, we had one drive. You know, we got to do a better job. They went 11 plays. They score a touchdown. And at that point, it becomes a game again. So now we got to, you know, and that's the emphasis in practice. You know, Tuesday's got to be a full, complete practice all the way through. Wednesday's got to be a full, complete practice all the way through. Every situation, we got to make sure we're cleaning up every day. Because we still, you know, and the emphasis on defense is we still want to play a more complete game than we've played so far. And, you know, every play has a life and a history of its own. Every series has its own situation. And you never know what happens in a game. You know, the first quarter is completely different than the second quarter. You know, and our guys, every series, you know, we got to take the approach of, hey, it's play one. We got to get aligned, do our job, have our eyes in the right spot. Okay, play two. You never know what's going to happen. You know, South Florida hits a big explosive. We have to respond. You know, we got to hold them to a field goal or get off the field. You know, Florida, same thing. They start of the third quarter, they drove the ball down the field. We need to respond in that situation and get a huge fourth down stop in the next series. And that's where I thought our guys, you know, are continuing to get better and improving every single week to be able to now step up and get that stop on that second drive of the third quarter. But, you know, it's still an emphasis that we're going to have in practice tomorrow. We're going to have it on Wednesday. You know, we have to constantly get better and more detailed so that now we can limit some of those situations.
All right, that's Corey Heatherman talking about Florida State's offense. I think the good here's my short version on it. Maybe I'll be wrong. I think the good news is when Tommy Castellanos throws the ball. I don't think he's that accurate. Better runner than thrower. The good news is when he throws. When he runs, he's like shot out of a cannon the first 10 yards. He's fast, but the first 10 yards or so, he's shot out of a cannon. All right. Meanwhile, Hurricanes defense has played very well this season. Florida State, the number one offense. Miami, the number 13 total defense. Here's what Mike Norvell said about the Hurricanes defense.
you see guys that have experience, guys that have played. They've got a couple guys that have been on the roster that they have some familiarity with. But just being able to see how they're tying it all together. I mean, it's their entire defense is playing very confident right now, and the things that they're being asked to do. You can see them gelling together at a high level. And so you look at all three levels. It starts their defensive front. You got athletic linebackers that run and hit, and guys in the secondary that are versatile in the things that they're being asked to do, whether it's playing man coverage, zone coverage, blitzing off, blitzing at all different angles and from different positions. And so, I mean, it will be a challenge, for us here going in this week and just our overall preparation. And then, you take that when you're playing against talented, talented people, and then you got to go execute it and put yourself in the best position to achieve success. So I'm excited about the work that's going to go into it, but it's a talented group on the defensive side.
Coach, you mentioned it briefly, but just what this rivalry means to the university, but also for you guys, just from a team point to wanting to win, but also from a recruiting standpoint as well.
No, I mean, it's all levels. I mean, this is it's one of those games. You come to Florida State and you play in this rivalry, and it's something that's going to be remembered for the rest of your life. And I vividly know. All of it for every game that I've got the chance to be a part of. And it's, I told the guys, last night, it's a blessing to be here, to be able to be a part of this, and to know that you're going to get to, through the results of all things that you've done up to this point, what's going to be able to take place this week in our preparation. And then, for those 3.5 hours come Saturday night, that's going to give you a lifetime to be able to remember and to be able to reflect upon. And, I just want best. And, it means, for all levels of the program, of the passion, the pride, the recruiting, it's something that, you look towards. And we know the weight of this week and opportunity of this week as well.
All right, that's Mike Norvell, and that's our show for tonight. We will be with you on Saturday from Doak Campbell Stadium, from the west side of Doak Campbell Stadium. Hurricanes will be on the east sideline. We'll be behind the Florida State bench, halfway to heaven, on the west side of Doak Campbell Stadium, with 67,277 fans ready to empty their lungs for Miami and FSU. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Trevor Harris. We'll talk to you on Saturday from Tallahassee.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.